I'm being a grateful covering food addict. And I would not be here if it weren't for this program, literally. I would not be here tonight if it wasn't for this program. I heard about OA back in 1982 when I was over in Germany, and I just started out in AA, and my first AA sponsor was trying to get a group phone because she was in OA. She knew all about OA, and of course I thought I owed this one of my life, so I jumped in and was going to, you know, help her get this meeting started. And the only thing that happened back in 1982 was the seed was planted for OA. I wasn't ready. The group that we had going was a bunch of military wives that kept rotating in and out. And when I was doing it for somebody else, it wouldn't work anyway. You know, the program, for me to work this program, I have to do it for me. Couldn't do it for my sponsor. I couldn't do it for a girlfriend. I couldn't do it for anybody but me. So that was in 82. I came home from Germany in 1983 and continued to work my life in AA, but it was miserable. In 1987, I almost drank again. Actually, it was 1980, I almost drank again. And we took an inventory, me and a few of my friends, and came out, the reason I almost drank was because I still hated myself after all those years. I still hated myself. I was still full of self-pity. And this one friend of mine says, well, why do you hate yourself? And I said, because I was fat. And they asked me, well, why am I fat? And I came to the realization I was hiding out in a fat body. You know, I didn't have complications of relationships. I didn't have jealous boyfriends or husbands wanting to beat the crap out of me if I looked at their girlfriend the wrong way or talked to them or their wife. Or, you know, so it was a nice, big, fat security blanket. You know, all I had to do was scowl. Somebody else said about scowling earlier. I just scowled. Sometimes I was just in deep thought and people would just, hey, and then they'd catch themselves and they'd say, oh, I ain't going to bother you. You know, you look like you're mad. And sometimes I still do that. I get in deep thought and they think I'm scowling. You know, I didn't get this wrinkle from scowling. It's actually a deep thought. Yeah. And, but when you weigh 315 pounds, no matter how you look, it looks like anger. You know, except for when I laughed or smiled. And I came to the realization that I wasn't getting any younger and that my family have a history of diabetes and heart attacks. And they usually get the first one around 40 years old. And the year I decided to join OA, I was near the end of my 30s. And that's what made me come into OA. I wasn't a fat child. You see my pictures. I wasn't fat in high school. I wasn't fat in the Army. They made sure of that. They fed me well, but they made sure I ran for it. And so when I got out of the Army, I made myself a promise that I would never exercise again. And the only thing I proceeded to exercise was my elbows and my wrists as I drank like a fish and I ate like a pig. And I got out in March of 75, and when I went home for the bicentennial in July of 76, I'd gone from about 176 pounds to 315 pounds. Like I said, I stayed pretty much 15 pounds until 1982. And then I worked that OA program for a year, and I went down to 295 and thought I hit my goal weight. Yeah, and at 5'7", 295 is not a goal weight. But that's how much of a perception I had about my body weight. I never saw myself as fat. I grew up in a family of big men, and I was always getting stepped on as a kid because I was a peanut. I was the peanut in the family, and I was always getting stepped on or bumped off of or pushed around. And my brother was always taller than me, always bigger than me. He was my bodyguard, actually, in high school. I liked that. All I had to do was mention his name, and nobody ever messed with me. But I was always this size in high school, and in junior high and everything, I was smaller than most guys. So, you know, all my life I had that insecurity. So when I was eating, that's what I was doing, was hiding out in the body, protecting myself with this big wall of fat and a whole bunch of anger and rage. I also was a people pleaser, and the only thing wrong with a people pleaser is, yeah, they'll smile and do everything for you, and as soon as you turn your back, it's like, what'd I do that for? You know, and there'd be more self-hatred and this vicious cycle of wanting to hurt myself, which I did with multiple addictions. But, well, like I said, by 1990, I was ready for OA. I remember in the spring of 1990, my church had had a sale, and they had a mirror for sale. And I decided I'd buy that mirror, and I'd lose weight. I was living with my sister at the time, and I was going to lose weight, and then I was going to go to Revere Beach to the sober wall and find Mrs. O.A., you know, I mean, Mrs. A.A. that was going to marry me and we're going to live happily ever after. And I hung that mirror on the wall, and I never went near it again until I was over a year abstinent, and I was in my abstinent body. And by then, I forgot all about Mrs. A.A. But, truth be told, I did come into this program because I did not want to die. I did not want to have a massive heart attack. I did not want to have a stroke. I did not want to die in pieces like I've seen other family members do, you know, first the toe, then the feet, then the legs. And God helped me along because I was playing my guitar down in my sister's cellar, and this book fell out and hit me on the toe, and it was the Ellie Brown book. You know, and I'd been praying for three things, that God would give me a wife that would support my sobriety, and that he'd give me a way to lose the weight as quickly as I'd put it on, and that no matter what, I wouldn't ever drink alcohol again. And I prayed that vigorously. And the thing I remember most about 1990, it had the longest, hottest summer of my life. And I swear it started back at the end of March, and it didn't end until November. And I sweated, and I suffered. And because I'm so humble, I knew God was doing it to me. I mean, there's nobody else in the world suffering but me. He chose me to suffer, and this is the way he wanted me to suffer. And, of course, I kept praying that I could take the way off and all this. And I'm a pack rat, and I went into this one suitcase to see what was in it that I brought home from Germany, and there are all these pamphlets, AA pamphlets in German and English, and then lo and behold, there were the OA ones. And I think between that OA book hit me on the foot and this pamphlet, God was giving me the sign, and I finally broke down and called OA and finally gave up one of my addictions on a Monday. You know, I went to a Monday night meeting in Arlington, and I walked into what I thought was a woman's choir practice or tryout, because it was all women in this room. Talk about stereotypical thinking, except for one other guy who was bigger than me, and I figured he was the bus driver for the women's choir, and that, you know, there were women next door going, oh, so I figured it was a women's choir practice or tryouts, and I was getting ready to leave, and somebody yelled out, hey, guy, and I'm thinking, who here would know my real name? You know, and I turn around, here was this one woman that I used to have the biggest crush on. She's in my homeroom. But she never talked to me, and I never talked to her. I say we're both shy, and then we'd say hi and goodbye. And she says, are you here for the OA meeting? And I said, yeah, but I thought I was in the wrong room because she was never fat, ever. But I didn't know about the other end of the disease at that time. I didn't know about bulimia and anorexia at that time. And she said, well, you're in the right place. Come on and sit down. And I did what any other red-blooded act in my situation would have done. I looked around, and the pews were packed. I mean, they were packed. And I said, nah, the room's full. I'll come back next week. You know, this woman had none of that. She said, come on, we'll make room for you. And the neat thing about abstinent bodies, you think it's packed in a pew until they really pack. And they squeeze like an accordion. And it was all this room. And I said, whoa. And I sat down and proceeded to listen to a woman. I swear God put her there to talk to me because I took it personal when she tried to convince me that she had weighed 400 pounds. Woman was in a thin, abstinent body, and she was glowing. I mean, when she talked, she was calm, and she had clear eyes and clear skin, and she wasn't sweating like me. I had the Mississippi River running down my back, you know, and that's another reason I didn't want to sit there. I didn't want people touching me and stuff. And I was, like, chuckling in the back of my mind, yeah, right, like she ever weighed 400 pounds, you know. Thank God for pictures. Because the pictures went around, I almost fell out the pew because there she was, you know. And I knew I'd come home. And I started praying, okay, God, okay, I know I learned in AA that a man needs to have a man sponsor and a woman needs to have a woman sponsor. I'm not going to act as that bus driver, so you have to help me. Help me to find a married woman with children because I've always respected the boundaries of marriage. And this woman got up, and I could have swore I heard this woman say something about her husband and her son. And you know, and so she also shared that she was a sponsor and that she able to sponsor and that she was a literature person. So afterwards, I went right to her. We talked, and I told her I was an AA. And I remember walking out on cloud nine. Oh, boy, all I have to do is give up. Two things, sugar and flour. I thought I have to give up everything, you know. Shows you how clear I was. Wasn't the brightest light bulb on the Christmas tree. And I went out of there, and I was willing to do what she said, because she kept hitting me with this, ask God for the willingness to be willing. No matter what, ask God for the willingness to be willing. And I cringed, because I knew from A, that any time I asked God, and I was sincere, for the willingness to be willing, I always got it, always. Even to this day, whenever I'm sincere, and I ask for the willingness, I always get it. So I did, and I called her, and I was all gung-ho, and at that time, I'd been working for Bay Banks doing the ATM machines, and went out, ate my first weight-measured meal, gung-ho, ate my weight-measured lunch, and I was supposed to be home by 4:30, well, 5:30 to go to the polls with my sister, and after lunch, I started getting all dizzy and black spots in front of my eyes, and I saw my sponsor was trying to kill me. By the end of the day, I was in such a rage. You know, I didn't know anything about food withdrawal. I knew alcohol withdrawal. I didn't know anything about sugar and flour withdrawals. And so finally, I got to the poll. I got to come home to Cambridge to go. The polls were about a 10-minute, 15-minute walk there and back. And all the way there and all the way back, I swore I was leaving OA. I was going to work 12-step programs alphabetically, and AA came way the heck before OA, and this sponsor was going to drive me to drink, and I knew about the 12 steps. I knew about the 12 traditions. I 8-plus years sober, she couldn't tell me nothing, and every cuss word I could think of in English, I called my sponsor, and when I ran out, I started hitting her with the German ones, you know, and my sister, she's so supportive, she says, you're absolutely right, it's a sect. Get out of it, you know. Just focus on your sobriety. You don't need OA. You're not that fat. No. 10 to 15 pounds ain't that fat. Yeah, it could have been 500, you know. Thank God for sponsors. I love my sister dearly, but I wouldn't want her to be my sponsor. And my other sister wrote me a 16-page letter basically saying the same thing. Get out. It's the same. You know, you're getting too thin. You know, too thin. 250 pounds. I was too thin. Yeah. God bless my family. You know, I love them dearly, but I wouldn't want them to sponsor me. And so I did call my sponsor to tell her I was going to quit. She apologized for giving me women's portions instead of men's portions. And she hit me with that, ask God for the willingness to be willing again. And so I did, and I was. And I wasn't an easy sponsee. You know, she would tell me things like, okay, you got to go to 3 meetings in an AWOL, which is non-OA group, because they do have rules and regulations, but it does support my abstinence, and it's an intensive study of the 12 steps. And I didn't want none of that, because I was doing 14 AA meetings a week between qualifications and doing service and going to my own meetings. And I thought she was trying to drive me to drink. I mean, if I gave up 3 AA meetings, I sure was going to drink, you know, not thinking that I couldn't have booze anyway because I have sugar, it turns to sugar. So long story short, I asked God for the willingness to be willing, got my 3 meetings going, and got into one of these other meetings. And then she had the nerve to ask me to put my hand up and start reading tools. You know, and making phone calls. She wanted me to make 3 phone calls a day to women that I didn't know, whose husbands and boyfriends might answer the phone. Now, these suckers hunting me, you know. No, 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 no. And she hit me with that, ask God for the willingness to be willing. And she gave me phone number. And she said, okay, try one. And she says, oh, when you call that one, get 3 more. And so I get, next thing you know, I have this network of people calling me. Yeah. So much so that even though I was living with my sister and using her phone, she says, this ain't getting it no more. Get your own phone. Yeah. And so I'd go to the meetings, and she said, don't forget, you go to the meetings, you raise your hand to read the tool. You can't share until you get 90 days, but you can read your hand. So I said, okay. And I didn't want to lose the sponsor. And I knew she was going to ask me if I raised my hand. So I'd always pick the tallest people to sit behind, and I'd do this, you know, from the elbow up where they couldn't see, the leaders couldn't see it. So she'd ask me, do you raise your hand? I said, yeah, but they never call on me, you know. And thank God for sponsors, because she'd watch me. And she'd say, Bean, why don't you try putting your hand where it can be seen, you know. And so I would. And lo and behold, if I put my hand up like I was reaching for God, I'd get called on to read a tool, you know. Then there was a specific meeting she wanted me to go to morning. It used to be over in Chelsea on Saturday mornings. And she said, oh, strong people there, you love them once you get to know them. Of course, I'd be the last one in the meeting and the first one out. And so I'd go to this meeting, and almost 90 days absent, I'd go to this meeting regularly. And she asked me, so what do you think of that Saturday meeting? I said, oh, great meeting, really strong recovery, but they're a bunch of snobs. Yeah. What do you mean they're a bunch of snobs? I said, yeah, nobody ever talks to me. Of course, I didn't tell her I was getting there 5 minutes late and leaving 5 minutes early. Thank God for sponsors again. She seen what I was doing. She says, Beanie, let me make a suggestion that you get there 10 minutes early and stay 10 minutes later and see what happens. Thanks. I did, and I was approached. Then my sponsor started hitting me with doing service. Put chairs away. God, you put chairs away. People come up. Hi, how are you? Great, man. Sure. Great to see you up there reading truth. Oh, yeah. Can I have your phone number? Sure. Giving people rides to meetings. You know, great way to get out of that isolation that I was in. I dropped in 1 year, well, in 5 months, I dropped 70 pounds. You know, in 1 year, I overshot my goal weight. My goal weight was 167 pounds. I was down to 150. I thought I'd look good at 145. 150 people are saying, aren't your joints hurting you? You look awful drawn. You never had dimples before. You know? So my sponsor insisted I gain weight and asked God for the willingness to be willing. I did. You know? And that's why I learned the lesson that it's not about being thin. Thin is not well. It's about being in a healthy body size, period. You know? And that's what my sponsor taught me. She stuck out through my withdrawals with me. All the holidays I couldn't do with my family at first. I would not do holidays or birthdays. I'd walk in, Merry Christmas, I'm going over my sponsors for lunch. You know, Happy New Year, I'm going over my sponsors for New Year. You know, oh, you always do, yeah, because they don't always try to stuff things in my face, you know. My family always showed their love with what they baked for me or what they brought me, especially after I quit drinking. My one sister, to teach, finally get it through her head, because I got really angry one time. She says, oh, come on, now you've been doing that now over 2 years. You can do it. I was at my niece's birthday, and she tried to feed me a piece of, you know, baked birthday stuff. And I said, okay, I'll have it. I got tired of arguing with her. Cut me up a big slab. She said, yeah. I said, yep, put the ice cream on there, too. And she said, oh, really? I said, yeah. She says, you sure? I said, absolutely. You know? So she's all excited. I said, but before you do, send Debbie out to get me a half gallon of Bacardi and a 2 liter bottle of Coke. She says, why? I says, yeah, I want something to wash it down with. She says, you're crazy. That'll kill you. You're an alcoholic. I says, well, what do you think that's going to do to me? I says, except I'm going to lose my toes first, and then my leg, and then my heart's going to get clogged, and then I'm going to die just like our family does. You know, she hasn't ever asked me since. Sometimes I had to be that blunt with my family to make the point. Yeah. And I'm worth it. I'm worth doing that for myself. I've got my identity here. Now that a lot of things happened to me since I've been abstinent. You know, I've had to get a fusion in my disc. I've had a pacemaker put in. I lost my voice for over 4.5 months last year, and I love to sing, so it's not nice when you lose your voice. All these things are things I would have ate and drank over if it weren't for this program. You know, graduated from college on the honor roll. All my life I thought I was my father's idiot son. And I was putting a table together for a friend of mine the other day, and I told her, she jokingly, I said, I could start a business doing this, just putting people who don't want to put their little furniture and tables and stuff together. She says, oh, I could have put it together. I said, no, you don't get it. All my life I thought I was too stupid to do this. I'm learning I'm not stupid thanks to this program. I can do things I never thought possible. This program has opened up my mind to see myself as I've never saw myself before. I can make a CD if I want to. I'm taking voice therapy, which is actually voice lessons that I always wanted all my life because I lost my voice last year. You know, and this woman is pushing me to record a lot of my songs that she's hearing me sing. So these are doors that are opening for me that I would never have seen if I were lost in the haze and the fog of the food. I was too fat. I wouldn't even, you know, I wouldn't even get up off a chair, let alone go and do something with my life. And I can roll around with my grandniece and take her for walks and slide down slides and swing on swings because the chains ain't going to snap when I'm 15 pounds. You know? Being in this program, one of the hardest things was adjusting to my thin body. You know, sitting down on one of these metal chairs thinking you weigh 315 pounds when you only have 165, there's not as much cushion there, you know? And it's boom, and it hurts. You know? Realizing that I could walk straight through a turnstile instead at the subway instead of turning sideways and lifting my stomach over the turnstile because I was afraid I was going to get stuck if I went the other way. You know, don't have to do that no more. You know, and laughing at my niece when I was standing in front of the TV and she says, Uncle, move your big fat butt out of the way and look and say, I'm sorry. And everybody chuckle and say, all right, get your little butt out of the way. You know, thank you. These are the rewards I have because of this program, you know. My life isn't over, it's just begun, and if it means weighing three weighed and measured meals, you know, that's the most spiritual thing I can do today because of the rewards I get. You know, my life is opening up to me one day at a time. You know, I organize my food so it's no problem. It takes me all of 45 minutes a day because I don't do mine for a month. I live in like a communal home. So I do mine daily, but you know what? I've got such a routine that it's no effort. I think of all the time spent waiting in lines to try to get food, just to have it, eat it, and not ever be satisfied. You know, food does not control me today. And I had my lunch at 3 o'clock this afternoon because of my eye appointment. Yeah, I'm not worried about, oh my God, that means I'm going to have to eat my supper late. So what? It's food. 3 meals a day, that's all I get. No more, no less. You know, my food does not own me today. My food fuels me. That's all my food is. And I eat healthy food, and I eat food that somebody told me back 20 years ago I'd be eating it. I said, yeah, right. You never see me eating trees and brains, you know, because that was my definition of broccoli and cauliflower, trees and brains. And now I love trees and brains. Yeah. My food, I can taste it because it's not numbed out by the overpowering numbness of the sugar. You know, I eat so much sugar that nothing else has flavor. So for today, I'm grateful I'm alive. I'm a miracle today. 5 doctors told me when my heart shut down last month that had I been 315 pounds, I would have had a massive stroke or my heart would have exploded. That's why I say it's because of this program that I'm alive today. And my 3 prayers did come true. By the grace of God, I've been sober now 23 years. Like I said, I lost 70 pounds in the first 5 months and maintained a weight loss of approximately 140 pounds for over 14 years. And God didn't only give me one woman to support my sobriety, he gave me a whole army of women in LA. I forgot to mention that I wanted a wife who would support my sobriety. So anyway, I am grateful to be here tonight, and I'm grateful you're all here because this is a fellowship, and I couldn't do it without you. Thank you for coming on.